Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2022 Home Education Conference held in Morristown, Tennessee.
We're going to talk about contagion today, but a good one. Because usually when we hear that word, we don't have a good reaction to it, especially after the pandemic that we've had. But there are other kind of contagions that aren't quite so harmful, like the silly phrases your kids' friends say, or the slang. Yawning is another contagion that's not so harmful. But the one we're talking about today is the love of learning. And that is actually a very beneficial contagion that I think we all want and we want our kids to have. So we're going to talk about that today. I have just like some questions. That's kind of how I organized my presentation. And I was curious like what my kids thought about the questions I was going to ask and answer. So I asked all of my kids and I really liked some of their answers. And so I'm just going to share those throughout the presentation. Okay, so the first question we're going to address is, what is a love of learning? And I think that's like the first thing we need to understand is, what is it? So I asked my 4 and 6-year-old, Ephraim and Anna, and they said, "You love learning." It's like, all right, out of the mouth of babes, that's exactly right. A love of learning means you love learning. And honestly, it really is as simple as that. After you get through all the complexity of what it is. And then Michael, my 14-year-old, he said, "Well, when you love learning about things, you really get into them. Like guns, for example, what he loves right now. He's learning how to reload his own ammunition, so he's like really big into that. So what is the love of learning? The easiest way I could think of to answer this is through sharing some of my own experiences. Not like a professional in anything. I'm not a professional teacher or anything like that. So I just looked back on my life because I feel like I've always had a love of learning. Ever since I was tiny, I've just always loved learning about whatever, whenever, however. I just always have loved it. So I thought, well, I'll share some of my experiences through different stages of my life so you can kind of get a glimpse of, you know, what it looks like for little kids, middle kids, big kids, adults, whatever. Okay, so when I was really little, I loved to be outside. Loved it, loved it. And we would go outside, me and my sister, we were really tight. And, you know, best buds, we did everything together. We'd go outside and make mud pies all day long, sometimes on our legs and our arms and whatever. We'd go catch horny toads and lizards. We'd ride bikes up and down the street. And then, you know, we'd go in the kitchen sometimes and we'd invent really tasty concoctions with the ingredients and some not so tasty. And sometimes we would create concoctions and like hide them under our bed, go back a week later, it's like a cement block. Those were our not successful creations. And then we would go in our bedroom and we'd build like these elaborate forts using whatever we could find in the house. Like I remember we'd have big quilts and blankets and we had like pins, like sewing pins, let's say. And then the pins would just bend and fall out and, you know. But we found all different ways to create these forts that had like tunnels and whatever. And looking back on that, I feel like my mom was very tolerant of lots of things that I'm not so tolerant of. But anyway, so then, like when winter would come, we would go outside, and I'm from the west, so we got a lot more snow back then. I don't know if it just doesn't snow as much anymore, but I remember always being over my head. I don't know, it's just lots of snow back then. And we would create like mazes and whatever, and we didn't have sleds, we were kind of poor growing up, so we would just find cardboard boxes, and they work just as well as sleds. Not for as long, but they work just as well. You just have to have a couple of them. We would also spend a lot of time pretend playing at like school and church and like house, like being a mom. So lots of pretend play. We did lots of that. And then when I grew up a little, I started public school, and I loved it. I loved it. I loved all the colors, the art supplies, all the fun things hanging on the walls, the songs, just everything about it I loved. And I remember, you know, learning all the, like, the new songs and music, and there's, like, fitness programs, and we even had, like, a calligraphy class when I was in, like, first grade. I think of my first grade age kids, I'm like, how could they even do that? But I did, and I still have my papers, and I was actually pretty good at it, surprise. But we had, like, sculpting and all kinds of different things. And I remember through elementary, kids would be like, oh, I hate school. Like, what? Like, what are you talking about? I love it. Like, I love school. So I always thought that was sad. But anyway, about halfway through middle school, I started homeschooling because my little brother was kind of being bullied at school, so my mom pulled him out. I was like, oh, that's fun. Like, I want to do that. So I convinced my mom to pull me out too. And she went to, like, 1 year of college. My dad didn't graduate high school. And so they're like, can't really teach you. So you just let us know what you need and we'll get it for you. Like, okay, sounds great. So didn't have a lot of, like, formal teaching. I kind of just was self-taught, self-guided. My older brother had one older brother, and he was, like, we call him the Einstein. He's, like, super, super smart. So I asked him for a lot of advice as I was going through my education. I'm like, oh, what should I do? What should I learn about? What books should I use? And he was really helpful. But basically, I just kind of did it on my own. When I was high school age, they had a lot of AP classes offered at my high school. And so I thought, why not two words with one stone? You can get college credit. So I took, like, every AP class that they offered. And that was really fun. I loved that, too. And at this stage, people were really saying, like, oh, I hate school. And I was like, no, like, I love it. This is so much fun. Anyway, I was kind of weird. But I really loved it. And so I think part of it is, like, I chose things that were difficult, so I felt good accomplishing them after I had learned them and conquered them. So anyway, then I went to college. Wow, like, the buffet of classes that I could choose. I never was like, okay, this is my major, I'm just going to take these classes. I'd be like, okay, this is my major, these are the classes I have to take. Okay, now what? And, like, look at the whole book and take whatever I wanted. So I took, I always took a religion class because I thought that's, you know, a good thing, good foundation. And then I always took a PE class. So college PE classes are really, really fun because you're not so fit anymore. Well, no one is. Okay, so I remember my springboard diving class. I took that with my sister, and we had the best laughs because those college boys cannot springboard dive. We had some really awesome belly flops. That was a really fun class. But I just went through college, like, learning and taking hard classes, but balancing it with fun things, like things that would that were exciting to me, and also classes that would get me moving, like the PE classes. So as you can see, like, the different stages of life, a love of learning looks a little different. But not just that, it depends on the person. So that's what it looks like for me, but other people have other interests, so you kind of have to look a little deeper sometimes. If it doesn't look like your children have a love of learning, or you don't feel like you do, it could just be that you're different, and it'll look different for you. So learning, like any other process, can have a very organic and natural flow to it, and the organic process of learning, children usually pass through a phase about age 8 to 12 where they fall in love with learning. And I feel like everybody is born with, like, an innate curiosity. You see that in babies and toddlers. They just have this curiosity for life. But I feel like it's, like, 8 to 12 is where they really fall in love with actually, like, learning and putting forth more effort to learn things. And in this love of learning stage, they appear. This is kind of what I feel like it looks like. They look like butterflies, like flitting back and forth, like, to different things. And they'll start a big project and be right into it, but then don't finish it because they're on to the next thing. And so it just reminds me of a butterfly. And that's what it looks like when I've seen it in my kids around this stage. And so my belief is, if we do things that won't, or if we don't do things that will impede or, like, snuff out this love of learning, and we do things that will nurture it, it will continue and it won't go away. So adults, they can also experience and rediscover a love of learning, and it can look similar to children with the difference of more sustainability. We don't look quite like butterflies. We move a little bit slower. We spend a little bit more time on topics. We go a little bit deeper. We have a little bit more stick-to-itness. But no matter the age, If you have a love of learning, there is an excitement that comes along with learning, and also a fulfillment. You feel very fulfilled. And that, I think, is probably one of the biggest signs of a love of learning, is you're feeling fulfilled. So like I mentioned, not everybody who is in love with learning will look the same. They won't necessarily love learning the same things, or even the same things of the people around them. You can think of learning as a path chosen to correspond with an individual's skills, their talents, passions, and interests. So obviously no two paths are going to be the same. But there are some general characteristics, like I've touched on a few. So some of the characteristics are going to be like a fearlessness. Like, you aren't afraid to dive in and do something. And I've seen this in my kids a lot. They'll come up to me and ask me if they can do a certain something, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I would never try that. But they don't care. They haven't thought of all that stuff that I'm thinking about. But there's a fearlessness about it. Like, they just want to get in and do it, and they're excited.
Can I share an example of that?
Yeah, go ahead.
My 18 and 17-year-old took the ACT recently. My 8-year-old came in, who was barely learning to read, and said, Mom, I want to do some ACT. Can I have a bubble sheet? And he started the math section, and was like, he's fearless.
Right.
He thinks he can do anything. And I was like, wow.
Yes, so there's a love of learning example. So just for the recording, your 8-year-old wanted to take the AP test that your older kids were taking.
ACT.
ACT. So got the bubble sheet and started doing the math section. And loved it. Yeah, I've seen that a couple of times. So my older kids do Thomas Jefferson Education High. I don't know. But my, how old is she? So she is my, I have 10 kids, so sorry. She's like my 9-year-old. And she wants to do it, and they say, oh, about 13, age 13, you can start. And she's like, why can't I do it right now? I'm like, well, you can read the books, but the content might be a little above your level. But she just doesn't understand that. It's this fearlessness. They just want to jump in and do it. And so anyway, you also will feel like almost anything will be interesting. Of course, not everything, but most things. Like, they are excited about most things. And some things they'll, like, start looking in and be like, yeah, no, that's actually not very interesting. Which is okay, because we want them to know what they don't like, too. But, again, there's an excitement that accompanies it. There's passion. They believe that they can do whatever they set their mind to. So kind of along the same sort of line of being fearless. They're energetic about it. And, again, that high level of fulfillment in your life. You just... It fills you. So, next question, why is it important? So hopefully now we have a better idea of what a love of learning is and what it looks like. So why is it important? We know it is, but why? My 8-year-old son, John, he said, because then you can learn new things. Again, a very simple answer, but there's a lot to it. Because I believe that if you don't have an excitement or a love of learning what you're learning, it will enter here and a lot of times will then exit. But if you really are excited about it and you want to learn about it, it becomes a part of you and you don't forget it as easily. So you can learn new things and it sticks. Anyway, so the other thing is when they love the process of learning, that motivates them to keep going. Because always, no matter what subject you're learning, and I know because this has never not happened to me, you always hit a place that it becomes very difficult, very hard to do. Even in like hobbies, you still hit a point where it's like, ugh, this is hard, kind of a little bit drudgery or monotonous or tedious or something. But because you love learning about that thing, that is the motivation that gets you over those humps so you can keep going. Because there's more excitement after that as you get further and deeper. Okay, my 13-year-old daughter, Lizzie, she said, if you don't have a love of learning, it's really hard to learn. And this daughter speaks from what she knows. She's one of mine that struggles a little bit with this. But... So I could probably talk to you all day about why I think it's important and why loving learning is key, but I've tried to kind of keep it to a few main points. So there's four main reasons I'll cover, and one is, like I just mentioned, motivation to keep us on the path of learning. Second, it's actually a commandment. And third, it's fulfilling and brings us happiness. And lastly, it helps others. So the prophets, as I... search through these topics, I ran into so many quotes from the prophets. So I'm going to have to keep some of these in my talk because they're awesome. So I have quite a few of those. So the first reason that it's important is that it's motivation, okay, to keep us going. So Joseph F. Smith, he said, one of the greatest evils existing is that of ignorance, coupled with indifference. I presume that if the ignorant were not so indifferent to these facts and to their condition, they might be prompted to learn more than they do. How shall we stem this tide of evil, this indifference, this consequent ignorance? It appears to me that the only way to do it is to wake up and become interested, or to interest ourselves in those things which are so important and necessary to the happiness and well-being of the children of men, especially that which is so needful for the happiness and well-being of ourselves individually. So he says, basically, you need to get a love of learning. He doesn't really tell you how to do it, but that's what he's saying is the solution. So it's important for us to get this motivation. And it's kind of necessary because learning is a commandment, and so we want to be able to at least enjoy that process. Brigham Young said, "This is our labor, our business, and our calling, to grow in grace and in knowledge from day to day and from year to year." And the Doctrine and Covenants is like chock full of good, like, educational scriptures, so I'm just going to read a couple here. So Doctrine and Covenants, section 90, verse 15, it says, "Study and learn and become acquainted with all good books, and with languages, tongues, and people." And in section 88, verses 78 through 80, and then also 118. "Teach ye diligently, and my grace shall attend you, that you may be instructed more perfectly in theory, in principle, in doctrine, in the law of the gospel, in all things that pertain unto the kingdom of God, that are expedient for you to understand, of things both in heaven and in earth and under the earth, things which have been, things which are, and things which must shortly come to pass. Things which are at home, things which are abroad, the wars and perplexities of the nations, and the judgments which are on the land, and a knowledge also of countries and kingdoms. That you may be prepared in all things when I shall send you again to magnify the calling whereunto I have called you, the mission with which I have commissioned you. And as all have not faith, seek ye diligently and teach one another words of wisdom. Yea, seek ye out of the best books words of wisdom. Seek learning, even by study and also by faith." I love those scriptures because it does not leave anything out that we're not supposed to learn. Like, he covered everything. You're supposed to learn everything, a little bit of everything, dive into the things you're really good at. Doctrine and Covenants, section 131, verse 6, this is one of my favorites, says, "It is impossible for a man to be saved in ignorance." So, we need an education. So, according to Brigham Young and these scriptures, we are commanded to learn. What things? All things. And why? To prepare us for our callings and our missions on earth. And the more prepared we are, the better tool that we can be in the Lord's hands. Okay, so the third thing on my list is it brings fulfillment and happiness. Another why. So another reason is because as we learn and seek, we find truth, which adds great fulfillment and happiness to our own life and to the lives of others. So here's quite a few quotes from the prophets. So Joseph F. Smith again, he says, "An education that is worth the name widens the field of its possessor's usefulness and imparts zest and energy to all his undertakings." This quote reminds me of President Heapley. I can't remember how old he was when he passed away, but he was a pretty old guy, and he was, wow, he was very energetic and just always smiley, very sharp-witted and funny. And he's who I think of when I read this quote. It says, this truth, this knowledge, it gives us zest and energy to everything that we do. And I'm sure you can think of other examples of people in your life that are very well educated and continue that education through their whole life. That's the kind of people they are. They're just fun to be with. They're uplifting. They're energetic. And anyway, President Hinckley. So Brigham Young said, "It is the privilege of man to search out wisdom of God pertaining to the earth and heavens. Real wisdom is real pleasure. Real wisdom, prudence, and understanding is a real comfort." And I liked this one because something that I have discovered as I've learned more, as I look around the world around me, I can appreciate more of it because I know more about it. On the macro level and on the micro level, just the more I know, the more I appreciate the beauty that is around me, the creations that are around me, and the more nurturance it gives me. It gives me peace, it gives me happiness, it gives me fulfillment. And I think if I didn't know all the stuff I know, like, life wouldn't be the same. And so knowledge and truth really adds a lot to your life. John Taylor, he said, truth and intelligence have a tendency to enlarge the capacity to expand the soul, like what I was just talking about. It is the principles of truth which cement us together and make us act in union and strength. It is those principles that buoy up our feelings, animate our souls, and make us feel joyous and jubilant under all circumstances. I like that part because the way the world is going, I think we kind of need that. That joyous and jubilant feelings under all circumstances. It is light, it is truth, it is intelligence. It comes from and leads to God, exaltation, and celestial glory. We feel joyous because we have the principles of eternal life within us. It is because we have partaken of the fountain of life and know our relationship to the Lord. And there's a quote by Oliver Dwell. He's a nonprofit, but I really like this quote. He said, when people learn to truly love learning, to pursue knowledge, wisdom, and skills because of learning being a passion, a joy, and deeply rewarding in many other ways, they will naturally work for and obtain a great education. And then last scripture, John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the fourth reason why it's important is that it helps others. I think every single one of our missions, no matter what it is to serve others in some way. Like, nobody has a mission that it's just for me. It is always serving somebody or somebody else. Okay, so the last reason is that it allows us to help others. Brigham Young, he talks about how it can even help us build Zion, like I spoke on this morning. He said, let us train our minds until we delight in that which is good, lovely, and holy, seeking continually after that intelligence which will enable us to effectually build up Zion, seeking to do the will of the Lord all the days of our lives, not just, you know, grade school, middle school, high school, college, done. No, it's like, it's a lifelong pursuit. Improving our minds in all scientific and mechanical knowledge, seeking diligently to understand the great design and plan of all created things, that we may know what to do with our lives and how to improve upon the facilities placed within our reach. Okay, so kind of the important part now we get to. So how do we rekindle this passion of learning in our own lives? We hear so many times, like the quote from Gandhi, be the change you want to see in the world. Like, if you want to change something, where do we begin? Us. We have to change us first. And I think that's because in order to have power to what we teach, we have to be living it and doing it. That's where the power comes from. That's how we teach others. So if we want to teach others how to love learning, you have to love learning yourself. And you have to be currently learning. It's a lifelong pursuit, like I said. So a love of learning is an essential ingredient to the learning process. It is motivation to learn, the fuel that keeps us going when it's no longer easy. It is also essential to making what you learn really stick. I wish that my mind was more sticky than it is, but I find the more interested I am in something, the more it does stay with me. So it's essential to love that learning because it will help with that retention. It's the fuel and the glue of learning, and this learning leads to joy for ourselves and for others. So this is something that we definitely want in our homeschools, but you can't, like I said, you can't pass along a contagion that you don't have already. So we begin with ourselves, and I guess I want to share what my kids' responses were. Like, how do we rekindle this love of learning in ourselves? So Soraya, the one that spoke with me this morning, she said, never stop learning. Recognize that learning isn't just from textbooks. It's going on field trips, reading, trying new skills. Learning is all-encompassing. Joseph, my 16-year-old, he said, watch others use talents and skills that they have. So he finds inspiration and, you know, rekindles his love of learning by watching others do things that they're really good at. He really likes watching YouTube videos of dirt bikes and whatever else. But that inspires him to do what he does. Rachel, my 9-year-old, she said, find a funner way to learn something, like using games and experiments. And that's like a perfect answer for someone her age. They're very hands-on, they want to do active things. So that's her solution to rekindling that love of learning, is do it a different way, make it more fun. So through my own experiences, like I said, looking back on my life is like the perfect laboratory to create a love of learning, because I just have always had it, and I think it's not a coincidence. And so I picked out a couple principles that I think can apply to anyone. So the first principle is to make sure that what you're seeking is truth. All truth, whether it's religious or secular, is included in God's plan for salvation and happiness. Joseph Smith taught in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 130, verse 18 to 19, whatever principle of intelligence we attain into in this life, it will rise with us in the resurrection. And if a person gains more knowledge and intelligence in this life through his diligence and obedience, he will have so much the advantage in the world to come. So pure truth really has a way of rekindling that passion of learning in our hearts. And the good news is, you get to take it with you. So it's not a waste of time to gain. So that's why I tell my kids all the time, when they're doing something I don't feel quite as worthy of learning, I'm like, well, you can take that with you. But anything you put in your head, you can. Like, that's really cool, I think. You won't have to leave it behind. So a personal story that I want to share to kind of illustrate this principle, I don't remember how many years ago it was, when the prophet challenged us, it was in the women's conference session. He challenged us to read the Book of Mormon by the end of the year. And this was like an October conference. We had like 3 months. And I was like, yes, I'm going to do it. That's what the prophet said. But they had just come out with the, like those scriptures that had a really wide margin. And so I thought, because he said you should go through the scriptures and underline the verses about Jesus Christ or whatever, I can't remember specifically. So I thought, I want the one where I can like write notes and do stuff like that. So I ordered it from Deseret Book, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm going to have 3 months, and it took like 3 weeks to get to me. And, but I didn't want to start until I had it. So by the time I had it, I only had like 2 months to read the Book of Mormon, and not just read it, but like dig in. I'm like, this can be really hard. So I thought, okay, where do I find more time in my day? And as a homeschooling mom, as you all know, that's very tough to like find that. So I thought, oh, I'll get up at 4:30 in the morning. Great idea. So I did. I got up at 4:30 in the morning, and usually people didn't disturb me till like 7:30. So I was in a room by myself for 3 hours. And I just really dug in. I wrote notes, I underlined, and wow, like that lit my flame to learn. Not just about like temporal things, but spiritual things, everything. I was so excited just about life in general and how much I learned. I know a couple of times in conference the prophet has said that in our days, like the windows of knowledge we open and just be poured down on us. I experienced that. Because I dug in and really dedicated time to learning something, I felt that, like those windows of knowledge, and I got so much inspiration and so many, not even just about the scriptures and the gospel, but what should I do with my family, what should I do, like what is my purpose in life, all those kind of things. It was really just like lit up my torch. It wasn't even a flame for a love of learning anymore, it's like a torch. So when you dig in really deep and you're really seeking truth, truth has a way of doing that to you, just really lighting your flame. Be humble and keep an open mind. That's my second principle. Don't ever think you know everything, okay? If there's one thing I've learned, as I keep learning more and more, I'm like, wow, I really don't know much. But I look at my kids and where they're at, and I remember being their age and knowing what they know, and I've come so far, and I've read so many books, and I've taken so many classes, learned so many things, but I still feel really dumb. Like, the more I learn, the less I feel like I know. You know what I mean? Probably you've all experienced that. So I think if you keep an open mind, that's kind of the key, because everybody you meet, everywhere you go, has some sort of truth to share with you. Because we all have different experiences, and we can gain something from everybody. But if you don't have an open mind, you can tend to shut people up, like, I can't learn anything from them, or I'm better than them, or whatever. Everybody has truth for you. Everybody. So keep an open mind and be humble. Let's see, the Doctrine and Covenants, again, great book about education. section 32, it says, let him that is ignorant learn by wisdom by humbling himself and calling upon the Lord his God, that his eyes may be opened, that he may see, and his ears open, that he may hear. For my spirit is sent forth into the world to enlighten the humble and the contrite. So again, if you're not open to learning, you won't receive quite as much. Okay, the third principle is have faith. So have faith in the Lord's promise that he repeats, I don't know how many times, I really need to count, but it's in all the books of scripture where he says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And I know that scripture is true. I have experienced that so many times in my life. Very simple but very powerful promise. You seek it, you'll find it. Maybe not the next day. Okay, that does not, it doesn't always happen that fast, but the promise is you'll find it. If you seek fulfillment, if you seek nurturance, if you seek truth in something, you will find it. If you're seeking inspiration for your family or for a child or whatever, you will find it. Said it in the scriptures 100 times. And it's true. And I love how Alma describes the process of growing your faith in Alma chapter 32. Verse 28 says, "Now we will compare the word unto a seed. Now if you give place that a seed may be planted in your heart, behold, if it is a true seed or a good seed, if you do not cast it out by your unbelief that you will resist the Spirit of the Lord, behold, it will begin to swell within your breasts. And when you feel these swelling motions, you will begin to say within yourselves, it must needs be that this is a good seed, or that the word is good. For it beginneth to enlargeth my soul, yea, it beginneth to enlighten my understanding, yea, it beginneth to be delicious to me." So I like this process of faith because I feel like learning is the same way. Because when we're learning, we really are seeking truth. That's what we're doing. And you will know the truth through this process. Does it enlarge your soul? Does it... Do you have these swelling motions? Do you feel fulfilled and energized by it? It's a great test for finding truth and also for faith. So the fourth principle is apply what you learn. This is something I've really tried the last couple years, and it makes a huge difference. It seems like a small thing, but it's huge. So like the saying goes, use it or lose it. So true. Of course, the Doctrine and Covenants says it more eloquently. In verse 24 in the 50th section, it says, "That which is of God is light, and he that receiveth light and continueth in God receiveth more light, and that light groweth brighter and brighter until a perfect day." So again, being open-minded and humble, you're receiving truth, you're receiving knowledge, and when you do that, then you get more. And how do you know that you're receiving this truth? Well, one of my favorite sayings, and I couldn't find it. I know what book it's in, but I couldn't find it. But it goes something like, if you learn something but you don't do it, then you haven't actually learned it. So if you are receiving truth, if you're receiving knowledge, you can see proof of that because you're doing it, you're living it. And when you do that, then you will get more. The Lord will bless you with more. Joseph F. Smith taught, "It isn't all that is necessary to learn the truth or to cease to be ignorant. Following that comes the application of the understanding and knowledge that we gain. To those works and things that are needful for our protection and for the protection of our children, our neighbors, our homes, and our happiness." 2 Nephi chapter 28, verse 30, "I will give unto the children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And blessed are those who hearken unto my precepts and lend an ear unto my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom. For unto him that receiveth, I will give more." So if we're truly learning, that means we're taking what we're learning and applying it in our lives, and it's changing us. Learning leads to doing, and doing leads to becoming. We are becoming better people and better tools in the Lord's hands to help his children. Remember, the purpose of education and seeking truth is to accomplish our callings and our missions. And every calling and mission serves others in some way. And this serving, as we know, simply increases our happiness. We are happier when we serve. So the fifth principle, dig in. This goes along with my personal example of reading the scriptures, the Book of Mormon. So you're probably familiar with the phrase, "You love those whom you serve." We hear that all the time. But I think this is a principle that applies to education as well. If you want to love what you're learning, then you need to invest yourself in it. So if you don't love learning, you feel like you're like stuck in that rut, well, you need to invest yourself in it. Set some time aside, put some effort into it. Don't just pick up a book, leaf through it, you know, get the general idea. No, it means like jump in with your whole self and really dig in. Doing this and putting forth your effort and investing in it, that's when you will really come to love it. Okay, so the sixth principle is to learn from mentors. So this kind of goes along with what my son Joseph said. Some people, it takes like watching other people be awesome to inspire you to be awesome. I think all of us have a little bit of that in us. We want to see other people doing it. But mentors are those kind of people. Mentors are people who are really good at whatever they're doing. And when they love it and they're good at it, again, it's contagious. And you can catch it from them. Maybe you won't end up doing the exact same thing that they're doing. But just watching people who are amazing makes you feel like you can go be amazing. So learn from mentors. Okay, so how do you spread this to others? This is kind of an important part too. We want our kids to have this. We really want our kids to have this because it makes our job easy. So Rebecca, my 17-year-old, she's the YCT here somewhere. She says, practice what you preach and love what you're learning so that others can see it. Jacob, my 11-year-old, says, teach others the things you like and other things to see what they love to learn about. So I liked that he said that because I read a book one time that taught the principle that if you're trying to improve on a weakness, don't just like try to improve the weakness. Come at it from a point of strength, from one of your strengths. Figure out how to improve on your weakness from a point of strength, a place of strength. In the beginning of my presentation, I shared my own experiences with learning, but we're gonna like fast forward, and now I'm a mother, I have 10 children that I homeschool. And through my homeschooling years, I've discovered something. This love of learning, yeah, not everybody always has it. It doesn't come as naturally to some people. But like I said, I think everybody is born with it, but like a flower, if we don't water it, if we don't nurture it, sometimes it can wither and maybe die. I think very few people actually have a gift of eternal love of learning no matter what. I think most of us have to do something to nurture it in order for it to continually bloom. So to be able to help my children, I had to ask myself, like, how do I allow this learning that's already, this love of learning that's already in them somewhere, like, how do I help that to bloom again? And I looked back on my life, like, okay, what did my mom do? What were my circumstances like? You know, how was I helped in this process? And so I came up with a couple things. The first one is to model it. So if you aren't already a person who inspires the love of learning in someone, well, then you need to get to that point where you are. So if you do have a passion or a hobby or something you do that you totally love, make sure your kids see it. Make sure others can see that, oh, like you love it. I remember one time somebody was saying something about like being a missionary in the gospel. People don't want to join your church if you're always like grumpy and no smiles. Oh, I'm gonna have to like smile more, be more happy about the gospel. Anyway, but it's the same thing with things that you love and having a love of learning. No one's gonna gain it if they can't see that you possess it. So a couple of examples of this modeling it. I watched the online conference, the midwinter conference we had in February, and there was a class on goal setting. And so I thought, well, you know, I'm gonna practice what I preach. I'm gonna act on my knowledge. Like I just went over something I'm working on. So I thought, okay, what goal have I been thinking about that I wanna do? So I wanna learn German. So during the talk, I got out my phone and I remember hearing someone say, oh yeah, Duolingo, let's do that. So I downloaded it and I started learning German like right in the classroom setting. And so I continued on with that and I would just sit on the couch and do it every single day. It's like 15 minutes, it's probably good. It'll take me 10 years to learn it, but that's all I had, 15 minutes. So I'd sit down and I would do it. And slowly, like every day, I would increasingly have more and more of my kids like come behind me. And they're like talking, speaking all the German and everything with me. And it was so much fun because I was doing something and I was excited about it. All of a sudden, it was just like everybody started joining me. And, you know, not everybody came and joined me every day, but most of them did. But the ones that didn't, they can still speak a little bit of German because everybody in the house is speaking it. So that is an example of it being contagious. Like even those that didn't sit there and do it with me, they were still catching it from others. And another example from that same conference, one of the activities, the family activities, was building a Rube Goldberg machine. I didn't even know what one of those was. Anyway, so I thought, oh, this will be fun. Come on, kids, gather a bunch of junk. We're going to make something. And so we were watching this this activity, and we were all as a family doing it together. And one of my sons, he's very hesitant to do stuff if he doesn't think he can do it perfectly. And I've had so many talks saying, look, nobody does anything perfectly the first time or like the 50th, so it's okay. Like, you can fail. It's fine. But he just doesn't like that. So anyway, we're all as a family doing this, and I think that process kind of broke the ice for him, because after the class was over, he's like, Mom, can I like keep this up for a little bit and work on it? I'm like, sure, that's fine. It's like taking up the whole room, but you know, it was fine. It's his love of learning. I'm like, go for it. And so for the next like 2 weeks, he was building Goldberg machines like all over my house. And then I was out of town, well, out of the country for like 2 weeks a little bit ago, and I just kept getting texts like, Mom, Jake booby-trapped the drawer in the bathroom with the air horn, and like all this stuff. Like, he just like took off because we were able to help him together as a family, show him that like you can do this. Like, you can mess up and your machine doesn't work 100 times, but man, that 101st time, like, that's like the key, and it can only work once and you're happy about it. Then you take it down and do whatever. So that's an example of like modeling it. Be a part of the process. I think a lot of times us as parents are like, okay, been there, done that, I'll watch you do it or tell you how to do it. But they need you to jump in too. You need to be a part of the process. We're never too old. Okay, so the next thing on my list is learning something new. So I'm 43, and I thought, okay, I'm going to show my kids I can be any age and do something new. And so I thought, my kids quilt for 4-H, and I thought, I'm going to do that. That looks fun. So we started quilting and realized we need another machine because 10 kids line up, and like we all have a machine. Because all my kids actually sew. The normal quilt that they sell. So anyway, there was a contest out that if you won this national contest, you'd win a new machine. I was like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to show my kids, like, this old mom, I can try to win a contest. So, you know, I entered the contest kind of for fun or whatever. It was a lot of hard work, but I made this quilt and everything was great. And I was like, it's okay if I don't win. I'm just showing my kids I can do this. And I came to conference three or four years ago. I'm sitting in my hotel room. I'm searching through my emails, and there's an email from Bernina, which is who I was doing the contest with. And it was like, oh, by the way, you won this national contest. You won this brand new, like, $15,000 machine. I was like, what? My kids were spread everywhere, all over the country, so I had to divvy them out so I could be here. And I'm like calling all of them, and they're super excited. And after that, it's just like flames everywhere in my house, like lit to just do whatever. So again, it's like contagious across subjects. It doesn't have to be like, oh, all of a sudden, like my boys are quilting up a storm. No. But they're doing other things, so they're like, I can do things too. So be a part of the process, and that is like magical for your kids. Okay, so real fast, we're going to breeze through the rest. So give your kids some freedom to choose their path. I think all of us come here already knowing somewhere within us what we're supposed to do. We have passions, we have gifts, we have talents. We were working on those before we came. We brought them with us. So if you just kind of get out of the way of your kids and let them lead, then they will know where they're supposed to go. You can kind of nudge them, encourage them, whatever, facilitate. But give them some freedom to choose their own path. Even if it's not the path you feel like you would have chosen for them, just, you know, give them some space. Also, be patient. If you feel like they don't love learning, just wait. It's a hard thing to do, but I have seen it. Like, I now have one in college. I'm like, oh, I can do it. It works. Just be patient. Have faith in the process. It's really hard to do, but be patient. Okay, another couple things that are helpful is environment. Make sure you have a good learning environment. Provide opportunities for them, like clubs, sports, whatever they may need. Maybe field trips, exploring, get outside. I think the outdoors is the Lord's laboratory. And there's so much learning that can take place just by being outside. Anyway, so in conclusion, since we're out of time, a love of learning can look very different from person to person, depending on age, talents, interests, whatever. But it's very important and even essential to the process of learning. To get quality education, you need this love of learning. Our education is preparation for us to fulfill our missions in life and to be the best tools that we can be in the Lord's hands to serve His children. The more we receive, the more we can be filled and bring joy to others. Our joy, our passion, and excitement for learning is contagious, and it can inspire others in their pursuits of truth. Perhaps the greatest promise to all of those who love learning and the reason that we should do our best to inspire in others, it's taught in 35, chapter 12, verse 6. And blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, or after truth, or after learning, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe that scripture speaks also to those of us who hunger and thirst after knowledge, whether it's, you know, spiritual or whatever kind of knowledge. And I love the promise that you will be filled if you seek it and put in the effort and the work for it. And I know that's true. And this is interesting.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this record. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.